Good morning and welcome to this morning's service for All Saints Fordham and 8 Ash Green Church for Sunday the 27th of June. A very warm welcome to both those who are gathered here in the church and those who are joining us via the live stream. Well, there are two themes for our service this morning. Firstly, this Sunday is GAFCON Sunday, and we'll be hearing a little bit more about that later in the service. And also we'll be continuing our series, Lord, Teach Us to Pray. Paul Southern will be preaching later from Luke chapter 11. But let's open our service in prayer. We've been thinking about the Lord's Prayer in recent weeks, which starts, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lord, we thank you that we can join together to worship you this morning. May your name be honoured as we meet together. Amen. We celebrate the greatness of our Lord with our first hymn, Tell Out My Soul. His mercy sure from age to age the same. Thank you, Lord, that today on GAFCON Sunday we can celebrate the unchanging truth of your word, the Bible. Amen. We come now to a time to confess our sins. The gospel calls us to turn away from sin and be faithful to Christ as we offer ourselves to him in penitence and faith. We renew our confidence and trust in his mercy. A few moments for reflection before we say together the confession. So let's say together, O King, enthroned on high, filling the earth with your glory. Holy is your name, Lord God Almighty. In our sinfulness, we cry to you to take away your way and to cleanse our lips to speak your word. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. May the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image, to the praise and glory of his name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're going to say now the collect prayer for GAFCON Sunday, which is written on the service sheet and should appear on the screen. It's a little longer than normal, so I'll give you a few seconds to read through it to yourself before we say it together. So let's say together. Eternal God and gracious Father, whose blessed Son, Jesus Christ, died for our redemption, commissioned his disciples to preach the good news, and sent the indwelling Holy Spirit in every generation to embrace and proclaim salvation to Christ alone. Arise and defend your church, the pillar and bulwark of the truth. Shine the light of your holy word upon hearts darkened by error, and strengthen the work of GAFCON so that the Anglican Communion throughout the world proclaims Christ faithfully to the nations, that captives may be set free, the straying rescued, and the confused restored. Bind your children together in truth, love, unity, and courage, that we, with all your saints, may inherit your eternal kingdom through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, now we're going to watch a short video about GAFCON. After which Francis will speak a few words about GAFCON.
Thanks, Roy. Yep, today we focus our attention on the work of GAFCON, the global Anglican movement of which we're a part. And GAFCON's goals are to confess the apostolic faith, renew the historic church, and to join in worldwide mission. GAFCON seeks to restore the Bible to the heart of the Anglican communion throughout the world. And this is, of course, no simple task. We need a move of God if this is going to happen. At the first GAF conference, the Global Anglican Fellowship Conference, in 2008, the Jerusalem Declaration was written. And this declaration forms part of our doctrinal basis here at All Saints Fordham and Atash Green. It's printed in today's notice sheet on page 5 and 6. And I do encourage you to read through that at some point today. So more on that in a moment, but as Roy has just said, we're about to watch a short video entitled, What is GAFCON?
Here is the church.
Here is the steeple.
Open the doors
and see all the people.
There are approximately 85 million Christians in the worldwide Anglican Communion.
The majority of them are represented by GAFCON.
But what exactly is GAFCON? The Global Anglican Future Conference, or GAFCON, is a movement of global Anglicans within the Communion whose mission is to guard the unchanging, transforming gospel of Jesus Christ and to proclaim him to the world. GAFCON is active in 6 continents with the participation of 11 provinces led by a primate or archbishop and 7 branches. GAFCON was formed in 2008 when over 1,000 bishops, clergy, and lay leaders met in Jerusalem to restore the Bible to the heart of the Anglican Communion. Since then, two more conferences have been held every 5 years, and in 2018, nearly 2,000 were present. GAFCON continues to encourage a growing number of global Anglicans to proclaim Christ faithfully as they resist compromise and submit to the authority of Scripture. GAFCON is passionate about bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to all nations. For this reason, 10 global networks have been launched to share relevant knowledge and experience and coordinate in their areas of expertise. You see, GAFCON is more than a conference where delegates from around the world meet every 5 years. It is a global family of authentic Anglicans standing together to guard and proclaim the unchanging truth of God's Word in a changing world. It is a movement of like-minded, confessing Anglicans proclaiming Christ faithfully.
So the Jerusalem Declaration is part of our doctrinal basis as a church, and we ask all who are in leadership roles in our congregation to support its teaching in the day-to-day life of our church. So that means church wardens and PCC members, growth group leaders, those working with children and young people. You can do this by signing the All Saints Fordham and Atash Green Ministry Declaration. And if you're in a leadership role but you haven't signed the Ministry Declaration yet, do please get in touch with me and you can request a copy of that from the church office. I want to encourage you today to explore the gafcon.org website, where you can find out more about the movement, and so that you can pray for Anglican brothers and sisters around the world. You can get daily prayer points sent to your mobile phone. And have a look at the Anglican Reality Check, where you can find a timeline of events which resulted in the GAFCON movement beginning. You can also give to the work of GAFCON financially through the website. As you can see in the notice sheet, the Jerusalem Declaration has 14 short sections. Same-sex marriage was created for the first time in the UK in 2014. And there's now the desire among some that same-sex marriage and the blessing of gay sexual relationships will become part of the Church of England's practice as well. We must resist this for the sake of God's kingdom and to honour his name in the church. This is a very sensitive matter in our culture at the moment, and it's important that we don't become haughty about it. Rather, we should seek to be humble and to humbly hold to the truth of God's word at this time. In the light of this, sections 5 and 8 of the Jerusalem Declaration are particularly important at the moment. These sections have been adopted by the Church of England's Evangelical Council, which represents evangelical Anglicans at national level in England. And let me read them to you. So, section 5. We gladly proclaim and submit to the unique and universal lordship of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, humanity's only Saviour from sin, judgment, and hell, who lived the life we could not live and died the death that we deserve. By his atoning death and glorious resurrection, he secured the redemption of all who come to him in repentance and faith. And then section 8. We acknowledge God's creation of humankind as male and female, and the unchangeable standard of Christian marriage between one man and one woman as the proper place for sexual intimacy and the basis of the family. We repent of our failures to maintain this standard and call for a renewed commitment to lifelong fidelity in marriage and abstinence for those who are not married. Section 8 is important in relation to the Church of England's current Living in Love and Faith process. And the Church of Wales, whilst part of the UK, is a separate Anglican church, from the Church of England. And in September, the governing body of the Church in Wales will vote on whether to begin same-sex marriages in their parishes. Please join me at this week's prayer focus evening on Thursday, when we'll pray for the Church in Wales, asking God that this motion will be rejected, and to pray for God to strengthen evangelicals in the Welsh Church. And let's bow our heads and pray for a moment now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the formation of the GAFCON movement and the creation of the Jerusalem Declaration. Please help us to live by your word at this time. May we live as a faithful expression of the truth that you gave to Jesus' first apostles. Jesus, we seek praise from you in the way that we live. We ask that you renew the historic Anglican Church, and we ask that you renew us. Please restore your Bible to the heart of the Anglican Communion, and lead us to join in on your worldwide mission, seeking to make disciples of all nations. We pray these things for your glory. Amen. Today's first Bible reading is from Romans chapter 8, and Jeanette's going to read that for us.
We're reading from Romans chapter 8, and I'm reading verses 9 to 17. Romans chapter 8, commencing to read from verse 9. You, who, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Comfort will now bring us our second Bible reading from Luke chapter 11.
Our Bible reading shall be taken from the book of Luke 11, verse 1 to 13. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom comes, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and said unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I said unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. And I said unto you, Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asked receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knock shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you, that is the father, he will give him a stone. Will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? But if ye then be evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? This is the word of the Lord.
As we come to God's word, let's have a word of prayer. In our first hymn this morning, we sang, well, we hummed along anyway, Tell out my soul the greatness of the Lord. Unnumbered blessings give my spirit voice. Tender to me the promise of his word. In God my Saviour shall my heart rejoice. So we pray, Father God, that you would tender to us a promise of your word this morning, and that indeed our hearts shall rejoice. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. It was good to be reminded of the GAFCON words there, and I don't know whether you, did you spot our Mary? It was good to see her. That's kind of really brought it home to us. We have a very real connection with GAFCON. So we continue with our Sunday sermon series on prayer. Last week we looked at Matthew's account of the Lord's Prayer, and this week Luke's account. The content of the Lord's Prayer, Francis has already covered in some detail, and you might like to listen again on our church website. The application of the Lord's Prayer from Luke 11, verse 5 onwards, has its own message and seemed to me to be comical, to be comedic. So I looked up comedic in the Oxford English Dictionary, and it one of the explanations there was, I thought, really spot on for today. And it went like this: to play with a humorous or satirical tone in which the characters ultimately triumph over adversity. So in these few verses, the comedy offsets the essential seriousness of living a godly and a prayerful life, which essentially needs the presence and work of the third person of the Godhead, the indwelling Holy Spirit, and more of that a bit later on. The opening verse of Luke 11 gives us an insight as to what may have prompted the unnamed disciple to ask Jesus, "Teach us to pray." And if you've got your Bibles with you, you might like to have it open at Luke chapter 11 and follow on as we go. I think it's likely that the question stems from the disciples observing Jesus at prayer. I think the disciples saw God the Son needing to speak with God, his Father in heaven. God spending time with God. They saw and received the benefit of that precious communion that Jesus had with his Father. It affected their lives and affected their view of Jesus and his and their Father. So first of all, I'd like to bring to you three considerations on thy kingdom come. Firstly, today around the world, God's kingdom is growing as people come to put their faith and trust in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and hallow, make holy his name in their daily lives. This comes across very strongly in the Gafcon words. So that's the first consideration, the kingdom growing, people coming to know and love the Lord Jesus. And secondly, there is the coming kingdom of God in its fullness at the end time, when God our Father decides, when his Son Jesus Christ returns to usher in a new heaven and a new earth. So that's the second consideration. And thirdly, thy kingdom come in our lives, your life, my life, this very morning. Luke doesn't follow this with thy will be done, but God's kingly rule is surely implicit in the kingdom's coming. Lord, do what you want in my life, and do what you want in your church. A couple of weeks ago, Jeanette helpfully opened up the Lord's Prayer to us with the coming of God's kingdom in our lives to the fore, and it was very effective. So we can use the Lord's Prayer as a kind of template and then put on whatever we feel is part of that prayer. And just to say too that, of course, there is always a place for formal prayer, for the words of some of the formal prayers indeed increase our faith. But we can so easily slip, can't we, from thy kingdom come to my kingdom come. And last week Francis showed us a big circle with God in it and a small circle with me in it. We revolve around God, not He around us. As a nation, whether we like football or not, we eagerly await the Euro 2020 match with Germany on Tuesday. And I stumbled across Paul Cookson's The Footballer's Lord's Prayer, which begins like this. Our team, which art 11, hallowed be thy game. Our match be won, their score be none, on turf as we score at least 7. It continues much in the same vein. And funny though it is, and we can be easily offended by these kind of things, but I was really challenged enough to think about where I prefer my kingdom to come rather than thy kingdom to come. So with a certain amount of comedy in mind, I have two headings for us this morning. And they're on the sheet, so you might like to, if you're taking any notes, just jot one or two things down there. So with comedy in mind, Jesus says, have you heard the one about the good friend? Verses 5 to 10. And then, have you heard the one about the good father? Verses 11 to 13. So let's start with verses 5 to 10. Jesus says, have you heard the one about the good friend? To really get the feel of this, we have to place ourselves in Middle Eastern culture that I understand still holds true today. And in this parable, we can be the man in bed or we can be the visitor. The house is probably one large room with animals down one end and then family members on a long bed together. So to get up would have meant clambering over the family and waking them up. And the nearest picture I can come up with is traveling economy with Virgin Airlines from New York to London at night and wanting to go to the loo and having to clamber over others in your row to get to them. It's that kind of picture. In this culture, not to have responded would have brought a lifetime shame on you and your household. Here then, in the end, you get up and the one knocking at the door knew you would. This is a bit of a tricky, comical parable. For God is not asleep and has to be prodded into action, or that if you keep on long enough, he'll get sick and tired of your voice and reluctantly answer you. The parable illustrates that God is eager to hear our voices in asking, seeking, knocking, with a sure and certain promise that he will always respond. He says, verse 9, ask, seek, and knock. And these are continuous verbs. So it's keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Today, every day, all night, and all day if necessary. For God in this parable teaches us to press in on him all the time. And it is persistence, the key word in here, rather than often it's presented as perseverance. It is persistence. Keep on keeping on. And someone has called this, I think very helpfully, holy boldness. So Jesus says, have you heard the one about the good friend? Yes, we have. And secondly, Jesus says, verses 11 to 13, have a look down at these verses as we go. Jesus says, have you heard the one about the good father? Give the child a snake instead of a fish, or a scorpion instead of an egg. I reckon even a bad father would be hard-pressed to do this. Verse 13 reminds us that all fathers are part of the sinful human race. Given this, we still know how to be loving to our children, and we would never harm them in these comically ludicrous extremes. Be sure that God's love is better than the best father's love. Jesus' answer to all this in verse 13 is perhaps a surprising and maybe unexpected one, but it makes much sense. It's like a light has suddenly been switched on. We cannot have a close relationship with God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ if we don't have his Holy Spirit. That vital third person of God. Our reading from Romans spells it out to us really very clearly that we must have the Holy Spirit. And as adopted sons and daughters, we come to God and say, I am your child. And the resident Holy Spirit responds within us, thank you, Abba, Father. It is only by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that we can speak to our Heavenly Father. And we might use these kind of words. We might say, Dear Father, Dad, I want to tell you how wonderful you are. And because I trust you, I want to talk over these things with you because I know you care and I know that you are listening and have the answer and that you want me to follow your son, Jesus, because he has the words of eternal life with you. Those kind of sentiments, those kind of words, that kind of approach. We can't have that kind of intimate approach with God unless his Spirit is dwelling within us. I can't emphasize that enough. And I think this passage in Luke makes this so clear to us. I don't know about you, but you might well have been blessed with a loving relationship with your earthly father. And that's a real pattern and a real bonus to you. But some of us might not have had such a good relationship with our earthly fathers, and that might be difficult. But that does not limit our approach. Hallowed be your name is what we are to say. And this intimacy with Jesus, our God, does not undermine hallowed be thy name in any way at all. In fact, I think it's quite the opposite. The scriptures encourage us, empower us, and enable us to come directly to the throne of grace with our prayers, just like we will be doing a little bit later on in our service, that we should have unworried contentment with what we have and what we are, lives laid down in adoration, as that lovely song, May the Fragrance of Jesus Fill This Place and Our Lives. And of course, not to be confused with complacency. Let's not be complacent in any of those things. There is no limit to what the Holy Spirit wants to do and work in your life and in my life, in the life of our church. There is no limit at all. But firstly, even coming alive to God, being born again, is the work of the Holy Spirit. for which we must ask and receive. So what he can do then in our lives is absolutely without limit. So I've come up with a short list, because the list, if you were to list the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in the life of our church, it probably would take us half an hour. But I decided to take the letters of the word prayer, P-R-A-Y-E-R, if I've spelt that correctly, I think I have, and see what the Holy Spirit can do in that. It's just to give us a flavour and perhaps to look at these things a little bit later, if you're taking a note of these things. First of all, P, the Holy Spirit prays for us when we don't know what or how to pray. How much we need this in our prayer life, day by day. I certainly do. That's Romans 8 and verse 26. The Holy Spirit prays for us when we don't know how to pray. And R, the Holy Spirit removes our timidity and in its place power, love, and self-discipline. That's the second letter of Timothy, chapter 1 and verse 7. The Holy Spirit removes our timidity. A, the Holy Spirit acts as our counselor, our comforter, our help, and advocate. A couple of references here, John 14, verse 16, and Romans 8, 26, 27. And now we come to why. It was a bit of a challenge, why, but I did get something. The Holy Spirit helps our yearning. What a great word that is in the Christian life. Our yearning for joy and fellowship. Philippians 2 and verse 1. E, the Holy Spirit enables us to acknowledge God as Abba, Father. Galatians 4, verses 6 and 7. And finally, the Holy Spirit reminds us what Christ has said to us. How much we need that as well, for the Holy Spirit to bring those things to mind. That's John 14 and verse 26. So there's a flavor of a few works of the Holy Spirit in our lives. There are many, many more. And perhaps you might like to do a bit of homework on that. So I'm really glad that Luke makes that clear point to us this morning. And we're going to sing, hum along. It's a job not to say the word sing, and it's even harder not to sing. But anyway, we're going to sing or hum along to Father, Hear the Prayer We Offer. And it really was the last verse that set a prayer that I want us to pray. So let's be still before the Lord. Let us not be at all fearful of what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives, our own lives and the life of our church. That He is God. He is God that seeks to come and dwell within each one of us. He wants us to ask. So perhaps, maybe for the first time, you might ask for the Holy Spirit to come and dwell in your heart and in your life. And if you have already asked for the Holy Spirit, then ask again, but ask for a refreshing of the Holy Spirit, a renewal of the Spirit in your prayer life and in your day-by-day life. So many things to ask Him for, to embrace Him, to embrace the Holy Spirit, to not be able to do without Him is really the persistence that we need. that the Holy Spirit will give us. So let's just think about that for a moment or two. We open our hearts to you, Holy Spirit. Come, we pray. Come upon us in faith and witness to our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And in the words of this hymn, be our strength in hours of weakness, in our wanderings, be our guide. Through endeavour, failure, danger, Father, be thou at our side. May this be our experience today and every day. Amen.
So we respond now with our next hymn, Father, hear the prayer we offer. Well, we're going to affirm our faith now using the words of the Nicene Creed. And for this, we're going to use the video from GAFCON. So let's stand together now as we watch this video.
One God. the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth,
of all that is visible and invisible.
We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ,
the only begotten Son of God,
eternally begotten of the Father,
God from God,
light from light,
true God from true God,
begotten, not made,
one being with the Father.
Through him, all things we are made.
For us and for our salvation,
he came down from heaven,
was incarnate from the Holy Spirit,
and the Virgin Mary,
and was made man.
For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate.
He suffered death and was buried.
On the third day, he rose again.
In accordance with the scriptures, he ascended into heaven,
and is seated at the right hand of the Father.
He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead.
And his kingdom will have no end.
We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life,
who proceeds from the Father and the Son,
who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified,
who has spoken through the prophets.
We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church.
We acknowledge one baptism
for the forgiveness of sins.
We look for the resurrection of the dead
and the life of the world to come. Amen.
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 And now Taiwo will lead us in our prayers.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, the Rock of Ages, we thank your name for the moment like this. We thank you for this lovely gathering in your presence where there is fullness of joy. We bless your name for your caring, for your comfort, for your mercy, for your compassion, and your love. Almighty God, we have come before you today. Have mercy upon us and forgive us our sins and make us holy before you. Gracious Father, by the obedience of Jesus, you brought salvation to our lives. Draw us into harmony with your will, that we may find all things restored in him, our Savior Jesus Christ. Merciful God, keep us under shadow of your mercy in this time of pandemic, COVID-19, with uncertainty and distress. Sustain and support the anxious, fearful, and lift up all who have been affected, that we may rejoice in your comfort, knowing that nothing can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord. Merciful God, we entrust to your tender care those who are healed or in pain, knowing that whenever danger threatens, your everlasting arms are there to hold them safe, comfort and heal them, and restore them to earth and strength through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Gracious Lord, give skill, sympathy, and resilience to all who are caring for sick, and your wisdom to those searching for a cure. Strengthen them with your spirit, that through their work, many will be restored to health, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We pray for your church throughout the world, for Christians everywhere, meeting in small groups, in rural and town, churches and in great city cathedrals. Grant that we and all your people may build up our faith and show in our lives the love we see in Jesus. Almighty God, we commit GovCom, Global Anglicans, the Jerusalem Declaration, unto thy hand. Arise, O Lord, and defend your church, the pillar and bulwark of the truth. May the Lord shine your light of holy word upon earth darkened by error, and strengthen the work of GovCom, so that Anglican communion throughout the world proclaims Christ faithfully to the nations, that captives may be set free, the strained rescued, and the confused restored. May your children bind together in truth, love, unity, and courage, that we, with all your saints, may inherit your eternal kingdom through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray for Reverend Francis and his family, that God Almighty will continue to uphold him, strengthening him, preserving and protecting his family. May the goodness and anointing of God be upon him to lead us. We pray for all our leaders, workers, and staff in the church, that God will empower and give them the wisdom to lead us. May the Lord's grace and blessing be upon their families. We pray for our children. The Lord will lead them in his way. May the Lord uphold them, give them wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to cope with their studies, and they shall be uplifted in their endeavors. We pray for our government, the Prime Minister, and our ministers, that God Almighty will guide them and give them wisdom and knowledge to lead us in the right direction, that we glorify your name and create peace and comfort in the society. We pray for the week ahead, that you will comfort us, protect us, guide us, and lead us in your way. For in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we have prayed. Amen.
And we continue in prayer with the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Francis, over to you.
Well, we're coming towards the end of our service and some items of church family news. We have a new prayer diary for July and August, which is available today. I do encourage you to take that home and to use it to pray each day. Particularly, it has a list of the church family, so you can pray for two or three people each day. And if you're watching from home and you'd like a copy, do please get in touch with the church office and they'll be able to help you with that. Zoom virtual coffee finished last Sunday. And after church today, the Three Horse Shows is open for tea and coffee if you'd like to connect with others in the church family. Hopefully, in a moment, we're going to go outside and sing, and I'm just going to take a rain check. Help, the fire exit's locked. Can someone just go and... Nick, would you just take a rain check for us? So this afternoon, the All Saints Club is running online, 3 p.m. for 4 to 11-year-olds and 4 p.m. for 11 to 15-year-olds. The younger group will be learning from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, and the older group from Psalm 27. Nick's giving me the thumbs up, so we'll... I thought he was going to check to make sure it wasn't raining on both sides of the building. We'll sing shortly. This week, the growth group leaders are meeting tomorrow evening. And if you'd like to join a growth group, do please get in touch with the church office or with Keith Hodges. Babies and Toddlers is running this Tuesday from 9:30 at the John Owen Barn. And the midweek coffee will be on Zoom this Sunday at 10:30 a.m. Please join me this Thursday evening for our monthly prayer focus on Zoom. We're going to pray for several aspects of our church life at this time, including praying for those who are preparing to go on Christian summer camps in perhaps a month's time. As I've already mentioned, we'll pray for the church in Wales and also ask God to guard our Church of England through the Living in Love and Faith process. The funeral of Marlies Barnett will be this Friday at 3:30 p.m. In-person attendance is by invitation only. The web address for the live stream is on today's notice sheet. Please do pray for Chris and the Barnett family at this time of sadness. Next Sunday, we're going to continue our summer focus, asking God to teach us to pray. And I'll be preaching from Ephesians chapter 1 on praying for our church community. Then the week after, we'll have an all-age service, and we look forward to Ayla Gage, who'll be teaching on Sunday, the 11th of July. So, as I've just said, in a moment, we're going to head outside to sing In Christ Alone. Please wait in your seat until a steward directs you to leave. When you're outside, you don't need to wear your face mask anymore. Please stand with the group of people that you're currently sitting with, and please maintain a 2 meter distance from other groups. There's plenty of room outside. And we say farewell to those of you who are watching online. So glad that you've joined us today to participate in our worship. May God strengthen and lead you through his word and spirit this week.